Red Dwarf 3. The saga continues. The story so far. 3 million years in the future, Daeglister, the last human being alive, discovers he is pregnant after a liaison with his female self in a parallel universe. His pregnancy concludes with the successful delivery of twin boys, Jim and Bexley. However, because they were conceived in another universe with different physical laws, they suffer from highly accelerated growth rates and are 18 years old within 3 days of being born. In order to save their lives, Lister returns them to their universe of origin, where they are reunited with their father, a woman, and able to lead comparatively normal lives. Well, as normal as you can get if you've been born in a parallel universe and your father's a woman and your mother's a man and you're 18 years 3 days after your birth. Shortly afterwards, Crichton, the service mechanoid who had left the ship after being rescued from his own crash vessel, the Nova 5, is found in pieces after his space bike crashed into an asteroid. Lister rebuilds the Noid, but is unable to recapture his former personality. Meanwhile, Holly, the increasingly erratic Red Dwarf computer, performs a head sex change operation on himself. He bases his new face on Hilly, a female computer with whom he had once fallen madly in love. And the saga continues. Red Dwarf 3. The same generation. Nearly. Backwards. Lister's quarters. Cat and Lister are lying on bunks in a darkened room, watching television.
Cat? You ever see the Flintstones?
Sure.
Do you think Wilma's sexy?
Wilma Flintstone?
Maybe we've been alone in deep space too long, but every time I see that charming body, it drives me crazy. Is it me?
Well, I think in all probability, Wilma Flintstone is the most desirable woman that ever lived.
That's good. I thought I was going strange.
She's incredible.
What do you think of Betty?
Betty Rubble? Well, I would go with Betty, but I'd be thinking of Wilma.
This is crazy. Why are we talking about going to bed with Wilma Flintstone?
You're right. We're nuts. This is an insane conversation.
She'll never leave Red, and we know it.
Cat shakes his head in resignation. The cargo bay. Crichton is in front of the Starbuck One, making odd gestures in the air. He is pretending to drive. Rimmer walks up, wearing a dark green uniform and a flat top cap with an antenna sticking up over one ear.
Holly, clipboard and pen, please.
They appear in his hands.
Well, Crichton, today's the day.
But sir, I'm just not ready. 6 weeks, it's just not long enough.
Rimmer looks at his watch.
10:30. Name?
You know my name.
Look, if this comes off, it'll be a whole new lease of life for both of us. We'll be independent. But we've got to do it by the book.
It's just that when you go into official mode, my anxiety chip goes into overdrive.
Name?
Crichton is obviously nervous and stutters.
I'll just put Crichton.
He points to Starbuck.
Can you see that space vehicle?
Where? Oh, that one. Yes, sir.
And can you read the registration for me, please?
Starbuck.
One. Right, if you'd like to show me to your vehicle, please.
Rimmer and Crichton enter Starbuck, Crichton in the pilot's seat.
Right, in your own time, if you'd like to start the space vehicle, proceed through the cargo bay doors and off into outer space.
Crichton flips several switches. The windshield wipers come on for a second, unseen by Rimmer.
Once through the doors, proceed directly to the nearest planet. Once there, I want you to bring the vehicle to a halt and then carefully reverse into the planet's orbit, remembering of course at all times to pay due care and attention to any other space users. Right, in your own time.
Crichton taps a few buttons and pulls a lever. Rimmer is ejected through the roof and outside the ship. Crichton waits nervously inside Starbuck. Rimmer returns and calmly sits back down.
In your own time.
I've failed, haven't I?
Just proceed.
You're going to hold it against me, aren't you? That one mistake.
Please.
Antigrav, check. Retro, check. Boosters, check. And very gently ease forward.
Crichton pulls a lever and they shoot out of the cargo bay doors, hitting one on the way.
I think there's something wrong with the gearbox. The thing is, I learned to drive in Starbuck 2. I'm not used to the controls in Starbuck 1.
They're exactly the same.
Yes, that's the problem.
Starbuck fires rockets and turns a corner.
Next, I'd like you to transfer to autopilot while we conduct the recognition.
Crichton pulls a lever which makes a horrible grrrr noise.
Tests.
Engage autopilot.
Holly, sex change firmly in place, appears on the monitor.
Autopilot engaged. Well, I say autopilot, but it's not really autopilot, is it? It's me. It's Mackenzie who has to do it.
Rimmer shows Crichton a booklet with a picture of a blue rectangle with two white arrows pointing up and one pointing down.
Right, what's that one?
Heavy traffic, keep to your assigned space lanes.
Rimmer flips the page to a black drawing on a white background of a naked, faceless woman dancing.
And that one?
Danger. Space mirages ahead.
Stopping distances. You're traveling half the speed of light. What is the stopping distance?
4 years, 3 months.
And the thinking time?
A fortnight.
Space phenomena. What's that?
Pointing to the book.
A pulsar.
And that one?
A binary star.
What's that one?
Holly's looking out the window.
A time hole.
Don't help him.
Crichton joins in the window gazing. Rimmer is totally oblivious.
It's a time hole.
No, it isn't. It's nothing like a time hole.
It's a time hole.
It is. It's a time hole.
A time hole is a phenomenon rarely seen in space, which legend would have us believe transports us into another part of space and time. Whereas that,
pointing to the book,
is quite obviously a blue giant about to go supernova. That,
pointing out the window and seemingly noticing it for the first time,
is a time hole. Right, what's this?
Not before time Rimmer realizes what's going on just as Starbuck is sucked into the time hole. Earth. Starbuck crashes into a pond.
I suppose you're going to fail me for this.
Rimmer and Crichton get in a boat and go to the shore of the pond.
What is this place?
Holly. Is it possible? Could this be Earth?
Holly, deprived of a wall screen, appears in a smaller one in Crichton's chest.
Certainly seems that way. Constellations match, gravity exactly 1G.
What's the time period?
Well, it's difficult to pin it down exactly, but according to all the available data, I would estimate it's round about lunchtime, maybe half one.
What period in history, Dingleberry Breath? I mean, can we expect to see Genghis Khan and his barbarian buddies sweeping across the hill? Or a herd of flesh-eating dinosaurs feeding off the bones of Doug McClure? What is the year?
Well, I'd need some more data before I could give you a precise answer.
Like?
Well, this year's calendar'd be handy.
They set off through a field. Crichton is gazing around at things like trees and seemingly enjoying himself.
I've never been to Earth before, I've only seen it on photographs. It's exactly like I always imagined, only much shorter.
Rimmer shakes his head and continues walking. The group come across a stone mile marker by the side of a road. There is a cardboard box lying in the middle of the road. Rimmer reads the marker.
Nodnall. 871 Selim. Nodnall. Where's Nodnall?
It's London, 178 miles. It's backwards.
Shh! A truck!
It's probably going to hit that box.
Rimmer stands beside the road with his thumb out, his back to the truck, which is approaching backwards. The box lying on the road spins around and lifts itself into the open back of the truck.
There's a perfectly rational explanation for all of this.
The truck driver speaks to them.
Tiflet now within out, opening Elgmai.
Then again, possibly not.
London. All the cars are driving backwards. We don't see Rimmer and the gang, but we hear them.
Holly, what the smack is going on?
We're going backwards.
It's perfectly consistent with current theory. Everything starts with a big bang, right? And the universe starts expanding. Eventually, when it's expanded as far as it can, there's a big crunch, right? And everything starts contracting. Perfectly possible that time starts running in the opposite direction, as well.
During all this, Rimmer and Crichton are walking forwards in a crowd walking backwards. Because of the way time runs, we see change leaping into people's hands from a busker's guitar case, a man sucking smoke from the air and putting it back into a cigarette, and a waist-down shot of a couple walking backwards.
So is this Earth?
Oh, it's Earth alright, only Earth where time's going backwards.
Rimmer is sitting alone at a table in a cafe, attempting to cover the H on his forehead with his forelock. He glances over his shoulder at a woman at the next table. A waitress comes up to the woman's table and gives her some dirty dishes. The waitress and the woman say a few lines in backwards speech to each other, and the woman says something to Rimmer. Rimmer waves at the woman, who is not chewing a very large mouthful of food. Tea starts to stream up the woman's chin towards her mouth. She lifts the cup to her mouth and fills the entire cup at one go. The half-eaten end of an eclair jumps from the plate into her hand, and she replaces the rest of it out of her mouth in two huge bites. She puts the eclair back on the plate and stirs her tea. A spoonful of sugar comes out of the tea and the woman replaces it in the sugar bowl. She speaks to Rimmer.
Sashalander's Eve.
Rimmer replies to this stream of backwards speech with a hearty
flop-a-dop-blip-blop-bleep.
Crichton enters carrying a newspaper and wearing a long, hooded black cape and a Ronald Reagan rubber mask.
What are you doing?
Well, you said look inconspicuous.
Don't be idiotic.
Crichton removes his mask.
But if people see my face, what are they going to think?
Tell them you had an accident. Tell them you took your car to the crushers and forgot to get out.
A waitress comes and empties a box of rubbish onto the table and says,
"Found titties.
I got a newspaper."
Crichton holds up the newspaper. The headline reads, "Der Nabnaiaflot Gorbeard." The paper's name is Yadritsi.
What's the year, 3991?
No, it's 1993. It's backwards. I'll switch to reverse mode.
He begins reading from the paper,
"Three brought to life in bank raid. A masked man with a sawed-off shotgun sucked bullets out of two cashiers and a security guard in a South London bank tomorrow. The armed raider then forced terrified staff to accept £10,000, which he demanded they place in the bank's vaults. The man, Michael Ellis, completed a 15-year prison sentence for the crime 2 years ago.
The waitress returns and places a plate of half-eaten food in front of Crichton.
What does that say?
Oh, it's an advert. Roll-off deodorant. Keeps you wet and smelly for up to 24 hours. What are we going to do? This place is totally crazy.
There's nothing we can do until the others find us. We'd better get a job. But what jobs are there in a backwards reality for a dead hologram and an android with a head shaped like a novelty condom?
Here's the jobs page. This looks interesting. Wanted, managing director, ICI excellent emotion prospects, right candidate could go straight to the bottom.
Something a bit more low-key.
Busy London restaurant requires dish dirtier.
Anything else?
Ah, this looks interesting. Theatrical agent requires novelty acts.
What do we do that's a novelty?
In this world, everything.
Meanwhile, back in the real world, Lister and Kat are in Starbuck 2's cockpit.
3 weeks we've been doing this.
Well, we'll do it till we find them.
We ain't gonna find them. They're gone, buddy. But look on the bright side. They're gone, buddy.
Don't you care about anyone but yourself?
Hell no. I don't even care about you. The way I see it, if Goldpostab and Freakface want to get themselves lost, that's their bag. I don't see why it should come into my preening time. You realize with all this rescue stuff I haven't permed my leg hairs in a week? I'm a wreck.
You perm your leg hairs?
Only as an aid to the natural curl.
Lister sees something out the window.
Fasten your belt.
Hey, I do not need fashion tips from you.
Safety belt. Look.
Is that what I think it is?
What do you think it is?
An orange whirly thing in space.
It's a time hole. That's where they are. We're going in.
Are you crazy? You can't go in there.
Why not?
Orange. With this suit?
Starbuck coasts through the time hole, much to Kat's dismay.
Where are we?
I don't believe this. According to the Navicomp, this is Earth. Engage cloak. I'm taking her down.
The now invisible Starbuck lands in a field. Lister steps through the door and appears to be standing in midair about 10 feet up. Kat also exits and stands behind Lister in the invisible staircase.
What'd you do that for?
Well, we don't want to spook the natives.
Kat bangs on the invisible Starbuck like a kid with a new toy at Christmas. He notices Lister wince in pain and check his ribs with a hand.
What's the matter?
I dunno, I think me ribs are cracked. And me back. Is my eye bruised?
Yeah, it is.
Lister pulls a high-tech gizmo, although probably with instructions for dummies, from his pocket.
What's that?
It's a homing device. It'll find their flight recorder.
Lister taps it to get it to work. It goes. He points in the direction it indicates.
Yonder.
Kat heads off in that direction. Lister speaks to himself.
I'm home.
Kat is standing by a pond, the same pond Crichton and Rimmer crashed in. Lister's head comes up from the water in the middle of the pond, still wearing his cap.
You find anything?
Well, the bug's there, but they're not.
Lister wades up to shore, still clad in his leather jacket.
You're dry.
A befuddled Lister examines his clothes.
That's weird.
Let's take a look around. Maybe they left us a clue or something.
There are many posters of the Sraptorpus Ravrolamitains et, featuring Rimmer's and Crichton's faces, wearing goofy grins and silly boars. Lister and Kat appear, walking side by side, examining a poster they have taken down.
What's this?
I dunno, but they must have left this to tell us where they'll be.
What's it say?
I dunno, it's in some weird foreign language or something. Sraptorp. That must be Polish or Bulgarian or something.
You speak Bulgarian?
Bulgarian? Please, I hardly speak English.
Eventually, Kat and Lister come upon the same mile marker Rimmer and Crichton got picked up at. Kat points to the marker.
What's this?
Not null. Hang on, wait a minute. Not null. Not null. It's in Bulgaria, isn't it?
Are you sure?
Geography was my number one subject at school. Not null, Bulgaria, rich in animal produce and mineral wealth, just south of Bosnia.
What's the Selim?
Well, that's obviously Bulgarian for kilometers, isn't it?
With no sign of sarcasm and seemingly perfect sincerity, the cat says,
You're so smart, I'm glad I came with you.
Well, we are the smart party.
Pleased with themselves, they head off down the road, doing a weird little rap and dance, with Kat as the beatbox.
I didn't come here looking for trouble, I just came to do the Red Dwarf Shuffle.
He's smart.
Let's find some transport.
Lister and Kat find a young couple on a picnic, taking a nap. So they steal their tandem bike.
Let's go. Go. Come on.
The man wakes up and notices them. He says something in backwards speech that is captioned.
You scoundrels! Return my bike immediately!
The text actually translates as,
Oi! Hey! Oi! You robbing bastards! That's a tandem!
Bye, suckers! You lost your bike!
Start pedaling, man! Start pedaling!
Lister and Cat get on the bike and start pedaling, but the bike goes backwards.
What's happening here? Get this thing in forward gear.
It is in forward gear.
They pass right by the couple they stole the bike from. They pedal down the road away, looking over their shoulders. Eventually they come upon a white van parked by the side of the road.
Stop! Stop!
They stop and get off.
No more. I'm not moving another yard on this thing. I'm getting a part in the back of my head.
It's these cheap Bulgarian bikes. You probably have to queue up for a year to get this piece of crap. You probably have to be a government official to get one that goes forwards.
The driver of the van returns from the bushes.
Yo, maybe. Excuse me. Excuse me.
The driver looks blank.
No, I don't speak any Bulgarian. You speak English.
The driver speaks and this time an accurate caption reads, Sorry, I'm English. Are you Bulgarians?
We're looking for our friend. Fremsky.
Arbunsky. Palsky.
This address Kihirsky. Can you, draw Pasovsky?
Another caption reads, Yes, I know this pub. Hop in.
Rock and roll.
Thanks, Kiversky, Muchsky, Bunsky.
Cat and Lister get in the back of the van, forwards. The driver gets in the front, backwards.
Hey, we're moving in the right direction now.
The van drives off. Backwards. We hear a dog barking backwards and see the exterior shot of a street at night. Cat and Lister are walking down a dingy staircase to a pub. They see a poster of Rimmer and Crichton.
This is the place. Me back. It's like it's been cut to ribbons.
Moan.
Inside the pub there's an unattractive man in a shiny lime green suit on a small stage. He gives a little backwards speech which is accurately captioned. Take your hands apart and give a big, warm goodbye to the sensational Reverse Brothers. There is a lot of backwards clapping. Lister and Cat come in and stand in the back at the bar. Crichton and Rimmer shuffle on stage, doffing their hats like vaudeville acts used to do. They are both wearing the same ridiculous getup, shiny pink and black pinstripe pants, pink sequin jackets with shiny black lapels, frilly pink shirts, pink bow ties, and hot pink bowler hats. Rimmer puts on an odd voice, unusually nasal and with more H's than are strictly called for.
Ladies and gentlemen, Aliyah, welcome to the show.
The crowd, seated at tables in the pub, laughs uproariously. Lister talks to the cat.
Welcome to the show. What's the joke?
For our first trick tonight, ladies and gentlemen, my partner Crichton will attempt to eat. Hey, boiled egg forwards!
The crowd gasps in amazement. Crichton eats a bite of a boiled egg. The crowd gets a big kick out of it.
This is entertainment to these people. It's pathetic.
They're Bulgarian. They have very simple tastes.
Crichton throws something to a man in the crowd, who catches it. The man is utterly amazed.
I have it. It's a moron convention. Check the coatroom. If there are 20 jackets, all white, with arms that tie behind the neck, you know I'm right.
And what better way to round off a meal, ladies and gentlemen, than by drinking a glass of water?
Crichton. Wow, stick around. They're building up to a big climax.
Crichton drinks a glass of water and holds it upside down. The crowd claps.
We are the sensational Reverse Brothers, ladies and gentlemen, we shall see you last night.
Rimmer and Crichton do the same little shuffle dance off stage.
Let's get a drink and go backstage. Hello? Excuse me. Can I have 2 pints of bitter, please?
The barmaid doesn't understand.
Bitter, 2 pints.
Lister holds up 2 fingers.
She can't understand you, but you're wasting your time.
Lister asks a man sitting at the bar.
Yo, matey, what's that you're drinking there?
He mimes drinking with a beer mug.
Yo, drinksky. Beersky.
The man says Erskib, which is captioned bitter.
Ah, Erskib. 2 pints of Erskib, please.
Erskib?
2.
He holds up 2 fingers. The barmaid turns away to prepare their order.
Was that difficult? No, we're the smart party.
He and Cat do a self-congratulatory hand thing. The barmaid hands them 2 empty mugs and presses some change into Lister's hand. The confused Lister and Cat look around to try and figure out what is going on. They see the man they just spoke to fill his mug with beer from his mouth. He tells the barmaid same again according to the caption. She takes the full mug away and uses the tap to suck the beer out of the mug. She then gives the man back the empty mug. Realization finally dawns on Lister.
This isn't Bulgaria. Look at that menu. An M. It's English, but backwards. Everything's backwards.
Everything's backwards?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know what they say when in Rome, do as the snammer do. Up the hatch.
Boobies down.
Cab and Lister fill up their mugs at one go, with rather a lot of it streaming up Lister's chin rather than coming from his mouth. Cab and Lister are sitting with Rimmer and Crichton in a dressing room backstage. Rimmer and Crichton have changed out of their ridiculous pink stage costumes. Rimmer is wearing a pretentious-looking smoking jacket and a skirt, while Crichton is wearing a white terry cloth bathrobe.
What do you mean you don't want to leave?
We're happy here.
We've found a niche.
We're the sensational Reverse Brothers. We've only been here 3 weeks and we're a big hit.
Rimmer, everything is backwards.
We got used to it.
It's true. Once you get over the initial shock, things actually make a lot more sense this way round. There's no death here. You start off dead, you have a funeral, then you come to life. As each year passes, you get younger and younger until you become a newborn baby. Then you go back inside your mother, who goes back inside her mother, and so on, until eventually we all become one glorious whole.
Rimmer, you already are one glorious whole. You've totally flipped, man.
We want to stay.
But we can't stay. Look, I'm 25 now, in 10 years' time I'll be 15. I'll have to go through puberty again. Backwards.
Imagine that. Your kajimpas will suddenly rise back into your body, and the next thing you know you're singing soprano in a school choir.
And worse than that, in 25 years I'll be a little sperm swimming around in somebody's testicles. I mean, pardon me, but that's just not how I saw my future.
I'm telling you, things are better this way. It's our universe that's the wrong way round.
Take war. War is a wonderful thing here. In 50 years' time, the Second World War will start backwards.
And that's a good thing?
Millions of people will come to life. Hitler will retreat across Europe, liberate France and Poland, disband the Third Reich, and back off back to Austria.
We're smash hits here. We'd be crazy to leave.
Rimmer, we don't belong here. This place is crazy.
Crazy. Death, disease, famine. There's none of that here.
There's no crime. The first night we were here, a mugger jumped us and forced 50 pounds into my wallet at knife point.
Okay. But look at the flip side of the coin. It's not all good. Take someone like, say, St. Francis of Assisi. In this universe, he's the petty-minded little sadist who goes around maiming small animals. Or Santa Claus. What a bastard.
Eh.
He's the big fat git who sneaks down chimneys and steals all the kids' favorite toys.
The manager of the pub, the same man who Lister spoke to earlier at the bar, incidentally, comes in and starts yelling at Rimmer and Crichton.
You are Wyatt Scallop. You photo at MIT not avid luck doppin' your ina. Parks Karai, you knurf.
What fight? We didn't start any fight.
Tagsa Effeldes, Rupatel. Niaz Mitat Ziberet to a crow lot katna, nor tinert, nidrasasit fod la tegat deretum sautna ket nitar pano et niserta me. You are why niserta lot katu meetup. You are why tonit napwe. You are why tonit napti, you are why tira, take lab, de deox, de putsaira you.
The manager exits backwards. There is a knock on the door.
We're fired. Something about a fight.
But you've been with us all night.
He says we'll never work the pub circuit again.
Oh, for snake's sake, be reasonable.
Rimmer and Crichton are now arguing with the manager in the front room of the bar. All of the patrons have gone and the place is in a shambles. Crichton and the manager say some backwards gibberish.
Tell him about the contract thing. He can't just sack us like that.
What's all that about?
Rimmer in a fight. That's a laugh for a start.
So what's the plan?
I dunno. See what happens. If they don't change their minds, head back without them, I suppose. Ow, my back.
Cab and Lister then proceed to eat some very odd pie. Cat provides the cucumber slices, and Lister's spewing whole cherry tomatoes high into the air.
We just gotta get out of here. This universe is just too disgusting.
A man approaches the table and says something uncaptioned containing the word bastard.
What's the matter with him?
I think he's a bit teed off cause we've just uneaten his pie.
This is confirmed when the man says you've just unscoffed my sobbing pie. Lister gingerly fingers his bruised eye. Rimmer and Crichton walk up.
Unbelievable! We didn't start a fight!
Lister tries to apologize to the guy whose tomatoes he indigested.
Look, I'm sorry man, we were just...
Lister is interrupted by the man punching him in the eye.
Are you alright?
Me black eye. It's gone. He just sucked it off me face with his fist.
The man punches Lister in the side.
And now he's just uncracked me ribs.
We don't want any trouble.
No, you don't understand. All this mess, all this debris, it's from the fight we got fired for. The fight we're about to have.
About to have? I don't want to be involved in a barroom brawl.
It's not a barroom brawl, it's a barroom tidy. Unrumple.
Lister holds up a beer mug, and beer is sucked back into it from all over the man's face. People come running in, backwards. Lister is unthrown across the bar, with glasses and bowls replacing themselves in his wake. Kev unsocks somebody with a chair, which reassembles into his hands. A man is unthrown into the shelves behind the bar, which reassemble themselves. Lister crawls backwards into a huddle of men sucking punches off of him. One by one they back off, and Lister jumps backwards over a table while yelling. Rimmer is observing all this from underneath the table. Lister backs up, and Rimmer calls Till from his position under the table.
Where are you going, you coward?
I've just worked out what happens to me back.
Lister goes outside the pub. He is then unthrown through a large window by two men. They then unbreak a table using Lister's face. They set Lister back on his feet. One of the men has a front tooth missing.
Excuse me, have your tooth back.
Lister unpunches the man in the mouth, and the tooth reappears. The bar patrons sit down, and their tables and beers right themselves in front of them. The bar is now full of people, and perfectly neat. Rimmer crawls out from underneath the table, and dusts off his green uniform.
Good one, gentlemen. Thanks for your support. Let's go.
They all start to leave. Suddenly Cat stops Lister.
I've forgotten something.
Cat walks over to a charity collection box on the bar and takes all the money. The barman seems rather pleased and shouts thank you to the cat.
Well, what the hell? It's for a good cause.
He and Lister exit the pub. A little later, the four get out of a cab near the spot where Starbuck 2 has landed.
How much is that, maybe?
The driver hands him some pound notes.
Oh aye, yeah.
Lister turns to go, but the driver calls him back and gives him a coin, the tip. Lister walks away again.
Tight git.
Crichton, Lister and Rimmer go up the stairs to the invisible Starbuck. Crichton enters, Rimmer and Lister hang about on the stairs.
You know, it could have worked. It really could. Where's the cat?
He won't be long. He's, you know, in the bushes.
Lister and Rimmer wait for a bit. Suddenly, they both realize something awful and look at each other.
We've got to stop him.
Cat's head pops up from behind some tall grass. He has a horrified look on his face, and his hair is sticking straight up. He walks out from the bushes and up the stairs with a very odd, stiff-legged gait. He stops in front of Rimmer and Lister.
Don't ask.
The end.